Please turn with me to 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 6 through 13 this morning. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 through 13, and that's on page 990 of the Bibles provided for you. We're going to be focusing just on verse 13 this morning, but I want to read the verses before that for some context here. Remember last week, we saw that there were some people in Thessalonica who were being undisciplined. They were being lazy and they weren't providing for themselves. And so Paul has, in the verses before the verse we're looking at today, has just encouraged them, or has just exhorted them to get to work, to work hard, to provide for themselves. But he also recognizes that kind of faithfulness is tiring. That faithful work is hard labor. So he goes on to give them some encouragement after that in verse 13. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. This is the perfect word of God. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we did not have the right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. I do not enjoy doing planks. If you've done this exercise before, it's an exercise that maybe starts out feeling easy. You're not really doing much. You just have to hold yourself in that position. But if you're anything like me, after a little while, you realize just how difficult it is, and it starts to become maybe even excruciating. And in my house, we have the difficulty that on top of that, if Dad is at floor level, the kids love to jump on top of Dad. And so I'm already trying to hold myself up and do this exercise, and along comes a 3-year-old or a 1-year-old to jump on my back. And the weight of a 3-year-old or the weight of a 1-year-old isn't that much, right? It normally wouldn't be that much of a problem for them to jump on my back. But when I'm already trying to hold myself up, it just feels like an elephant on my back, right? It's so hard to keep doing what I'm doing. And friends, as you start the Christian life, maybe if you are a new convert, there are some aspects of the Christian life that are easy at first. This isn't true for everyone, but maybe when you first were saved or when you were younger, you had the zeal for the Lord, you have an energy for him that made some of those ways of following God easy. And the Lord maybe made that path level for you when you were learning to walk. But then as you start to do these simple, even small things day after day, and that temptation hits you again to not do it, and again, and it's the 50th time you've faced that temptation, and the 150th time, even those small acts of faithfulness can seem like such a burden. It can seem like it's impossible to keep going. You get weary. And the Thessalonians had started well. They'd started remarkably well, and they were still doing very well. They were serving the Lord faithfully, but Paul knew that the Christian walk is a marathon. He knew that they had years of faithfulness ahead of them. And so he had to encourage them here not to grow weary in doing good. And that's what I want to urge you to do this morning as well, or I guess more properly, not to do. Do not grow weary in doing good. Do not grow weary in doing good. But Paul doesn't give us much more than that here in this verse. It's got some context around it, but it's really an isolated thought here in this letter. And as I've studied Scripture this week at this idea of growing weary, we see in the rest of Scripture that it's not just that it's a long process of serving the Lord in your life that makes this difficult. There are factors in our lives that push us down when we're already tired. That there's that toddler leaning on you, jumping on your back when you're trying to already hold yourself up. There are these factors in our lives that push on us, that make it especially hard not to grow weary and not to give up. And so I want to take some time this morning to look at four factors that make it harder not to grow weary. These four factors that push on you when you're already struggling to do good. And in each case here, the comfort in God's word is that Christ rewards us for being faithful in these areas. We're saved by grace, we're saved by faith, but the Bible doesn't shy away from the idea that we will be rewarded for the good that we do in this life in Christ. And so the encouragement to you this morning as we look at each of these areas is that Jesus will reward you specifically for the ways you are faithful in each of these areas this morning. And so first of all, do not grow weary in doing good, first, because Christ will reward you for suffering persecution. Christ will reward you for suffering persecution. Being a whistleblower doesn't make your life more comfortable, generally speaking. If you blow the whistle on your company or on the government for something that they're doing that's wrong, it often makes your life far more difficult. We see so many examples of this going on right now. Maybe you remember back in the 90s, in the early 90s, a man named Jeffrey Wigand, who was an employee in the tobacco industry, who uncovered the fact that tobacco companies were stifling the studies and covering up the studies that showed that nicotine was addictive and that there were cancer-causing ingredients in cigarettes. And he blew it wide open and he brought it to the press. And in the process, he lost his job. He got death threats. His life was turned upside down. He had to go around with a bodyguard. His life became much more difficult. And even just this weekend, we've seen news that a man who had been a whistleblower in the Department of Homeland Security has purportedly taken his own life. And whether it's him really taking his own life or something more nefarious going on, his life obviously got a lot harder and a lot worse because he stood up for what was right. And friends, the reality is, if you are going to do what is right, if you are going to honor God with your life, if you are going to serve Jesus faithfully, you will suffer for it. You will be persecuted. We've talked about this a lot as we've looked at 1 and 2 Thessalonians, but in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, Paul told Timothy, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. If you work to serve the Lord, you will be persecuted for it." And that is wearying to think about. It's hard enough to make the choice to do the right thing when you're fighting temptation, when you're struggling against even just your own sinful desires, but to know that others are going to make your life difficult for doing what's right is a weary thought. You've been promised that if you do the right thing, you will make enemies, and your life will be difficult. And in our culture and in our lives, often that persecution is in small ways. But if it's daily, if it happens again and again for weeks and months, it makes you weary. Maybe for you it's the loneliness at work or at school because you've stood up for what's right. Maybe you've been ostracized. Maybe you've lost friendships. Maybe because you won't participate in the gossip or you won't participate in getting drunk or joking about sin or these other things that might help you be included, maybe you're lonely because of that. And that is a form of persecution. Maybe you are consistently called a bigot for upholding what the Bible teaches about sexuality. And as you hear that over and over again, when you hear that in the world of entertainment and in the media and in coming from the culture around us all the time, it wears on you. We get weary of it. Maybe you have a family member or a friend who is a militant atheist who takes every opportunity to pick on you or to mock you for your faith in Jesus Christ. Takes every opportunity to try to make Christianity look foolish at every family party, at every holiday, and it wears on you. Day after day after day, and you start to wonder maybe, you know, what can I do to just be normal for a while? Can't I just, does it really matter if I give in a little bit? Does it really, you know, I'm saved through Jesus. I'm going to heaven through Christ. Does it really matter if I give in a little bit, if I just stop having such a sensitive conscience and just try to be comfortable for a little while and not be making these problems for myself? Can't I just be comfortable and accepted like the people around me? But what does Jesus say to you, say to us, about our persecution? What is the hope that he gives us? In Matthew 5:11-12, Jesus said, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. And what's the hope? Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Your reward is great in heaven. That for each instance of persecution in your life for Christ, when you stand for Christ and you are persecuted, you will be rewarded greatly in heaven. So maybe you're tempted to look wistfully at Christians who are more worldly than you. You see people who just seem to get along with the world better than you. They seem to have a more comfortable life. They don't have a sensitive of consciences, and they're not standing up, always making a fuss and standing up for what's right, and it seems to go better for them. And you look at their lives and you think, couldn't I just be like that? Wouldn't it be better and easier if I could just be like that and not stand up for what's right quite so often? But friends, if you have to sacrifice the law of God, if you have to go against the law of God to be like them, know that they have sacrificed, they have exchanged comfort in this life for treasures in heaven. Or they have exchanged treasures in heaven for comforts in this life. The promise is that in the ways that you are persecuted in this life, you will be rewarded in the new heavens and the new earth. Hold on to that promise. Believe that promise from God's word. And do not grow weary in doing good. Now, it's not just attacks from the world that make us weary. We're also in a spiritual war. We're in a constant fight with temptation and with the evil one coming after us. But brothers and sisters, do not grow weary in doing good, because Christ will reward you for fighting temptation. Christ will reward you for fighting temptation. Paul gives us a vivid window into his internal struggle with sin in Romans chapter 7. And maybe these are familiar words to you, even just in your own experience. So Paul says in Romans 7, beginning of verse 19, he says, "I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand, for I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Maybe that's your experience. If you are in Christ, this has been your experience at points in your life, and so often for all of us. You know something about that war that rages inside of us. We are new creations, but we have our old self still there, and there's that battle, that war raging inside of us, that old self that we have to put off. We have to keep saying no to temptation day after day, and that war is wearying. Maybe you're tired of that fight right now. Maybe in your life there's one temptation, one sin, that you have battled for months, maybe years, maybe even decades. And it seems like every time the temptation hits you, it's just as hard as the last time. And it comes day after day after day, and you just want to say, when is it going to be enough? When can I be done struggling with this temptation? Or maybe there's a sin that you've gained some victory over, and you've been walking by the Spirit, you've been walking in the joy of having some victory over a sin, and then years later it comes back and hits you like a ton of bricks. And you think, "Lord, I don't want to go through this again. I don't want to fight this battle again. I'm so sick of it. I'm weary." Listen to the way that Peter talks about this struggle in 1 Peter 5:8-10, and the comfort that he gives us in this battle with the evil one who comes after us. 1 Peter 5:8-10. Peter said, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." And then listen to this comfort here. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. The day is coming when God will establish you and confirm you and strengthen you and reward you for the way that you have stood against temptation, for those times when you have said no to sin, when you have refused to give in, when that temptation was so strong. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul talks about being a soldier and in this fight against sin, and he tells Timothy, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. And friends, our aim in this struggle with sin, in this battle, as soldiers in this battle with sin, is not just to be comfortable. Our aim is to please the one who has enlisted us, to please our commanding officer, to please Jesus Christ. And when we have done so, when our time in this life is finished, he will reward you. He will make it worth it for you. Think about Paul's words at the end of his life. Now, Paul at the very end could say, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. That day is coming, and when those temptations hit you, focus your mind on what is coming. Set your mind on things above, and know that it is worth it to fight that temptation. So what temptations are hitting you hard in your life right now? Maybe it's a temptation to sinful anger, to just letting loose, to letting it fly, and it feels like it just, that when you're trying to get a handle on it, something more hits you, something else in your life makes it difficult not to lose that temper. Maybe for you it's sexual temptation. And this sexually charged world that we live in, and the advertising and the social media and all of these, and maybe a relationship that you're in, all of these things pile on you and you feel like you can't get away from these temptations. Or maybe for you it's a temptation not to do what's right, a temptation to be passive, a temptation to just not do anything, to not get out of bed, to not fight against, to not stand up for what is right, maybe just to be entertained throughout your life and not do what you know is right. Friends, these temptations are bitter and difficult and wearying, but they are worth it. It is worth it to fight against them. Jesus sees those moments of bitter struggle in your life. He knows, he remembers, he's recording them, and he will reward you for trusting in him. Now, so far, these things we've been talking about have been related to attacks. We face attacks from the world. We face attacks from the evil one. But another area that makes us weary is when we work at something and we don't see any fruit. But friends, when you labor and we don't get any reward for it, remember that Christ will reward you for laboring patiently. Christ will reward you for laboring patiently. As I mentioned before, Paul has just been urging them to work hard at their actual physical labor, at their jobs to provide for themselves. He's just told them, you need to work to provide for yourself so that you can have enough to give to others as well. And so there's a direct connection here. He's just told them to do all this hard work, and right after that, Paul says, do not grow weary in doing good. Paul knows that it will be difficult. He knows that to serve faithfully, to work a job faithfully in a way that honors Christ is wearying. To think about the many young people who get tied up in the drug trade or get tied up in the gang lifestyle because there's so much more easy money there. And they look at working a minimum wage job, flipping burgers, and they think, you want me to spend that much time working for that little when I could be doing this and getting so much more? And friends, working in a legitimate job to get what you need to provide for yourself is hard labor. It's hard work. And sometimes it's not enough. You're working hard, you're laboring, and you don't have enough to make ends meet. And you feel like you're never getting ahead. And you wonder at certain points, you know, what is the point? Why do I keep struggling and working at these things when I don't see reward from it? But when you think that way, think for a moment about the people that Paul is writing to here. Remember that in the early church, a large percentage of the members of the church were serving as slaves in this culture. That often Paul writes directly to the bondservants or to the slaves who are in the church at this time. And if you want to talk about work that isn't rewarding, these were people who were not paid for their work. These are people who were provided some kind of housing and some kind of food to keep them alive, but that was it. They were not rewarded well for their work. But listen to what Paul says to them in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, Paul tells them, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward." And again in Ephesians chapter 6, when he's talking to the slaves in that city as well, he says, "Whatever good anyone does, he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free." Whatever hard work and labor you do, whether it's rewarding in this life or not, is rewarded by the Lord if you do it for him. Whether you are making ends meet or not, whether you are making big money or not, whether people recognize the work that you're doing or not, God sees and he rewards patient labor, even patient physical labor. And our culture tells us that if you just work hard enough, if you do enough to stick with it and to see your dreams through, that you'll eventually get there. You'll get that certain lifestyle. You'll get that kind of retirement that you're looking for. You'll reach that goal someday. But what happens when you realize that's not going to happen for you? And you realize that you're not going to get to where you want to in this life, but you still have years of labor ahead of you. Do you have a greater hope than this life? Do you remember that Jesus will reward you for that faithful labor when he returns to take you to be with him? But it's not just physical labor that requires patience. And this idea of laboring patiently is also the spiritual labor that we do. Scripture often refers to our spiritual labor in terms of sowing seed. Right? We sow the seed of the gospel and we want it to bear fruit. But often there's a long wait between sowing seed and seeing and getting to harvest. I was just listening to a sermon from Joel Wood recently. He made this analogy and he talked about winter wheat. And he said, you know, you plant winter wheat and it's a long time before you do any harvesting. And it's a long time before you see any substantial growth out of what you've planted. And friends, the reality is that in our spiritual labors, you may never see the fruit of what you're doing. We sow and we work and we toil to pour into people's lives, to share the gospel, and often you don't see any results. You don't see what's happening. But in Galatians 6, verse 9, a parallel passage to our passage this morning, Paul tells the Galatians, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." We will reap if we do not give up. Jesus told us something similar in Luke 6:35 when he said, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High." So there is all kinds of work that we are called to do spiritually in this life that we really don't expect any reward from in this life. We don't. If you are praying diligently for someone, you probably will not receive personal reward for that in this life. If you're caring for an ailing family member for years and years, often there isn't much reward in this life for that. Or if you're helping someone in need who you know won't be able to repay you, someone you know will never pay you back for what you're doing to help them, you kind of expect not to get a reward for that. But I think what's even more difficult than that, that's a large part of our Christian walk, what's even more difficult than that is when you are laboring in a type of spiritual work where sometimes you do see fruit, but you're not right now. Where some people see fruit from that labor and you don't. For example, in evangelism, maybe you're pouring yourself into evangelism and you aren't seeing a single convert. You're not seeing a single lost person come to faith. Or you're pouring yourself into discipleship or counseling someone and you're pouring your life into them and you don't see any change. You don't see any fruit from that. And you look at other people and you see them getting fruit from the similar work that they're doing. And when that happens, you will be tempted to give up. It's so hard to keep laboring when you don't see fruit, when you don't see reward. But remember that when that happens, remember your Father who sees in secret will reward you. In due season, we will reap if we do not give up. Maybe this week, someone that you have been investing in, someone you've been pouring yourself into, will disappoint you in a big way. Maybe they'll turn on you. Maybe they will push you away. Maybe you feel like weeks and months and even years of trying to minister to somebody is just down the drain. And when that happens, you will be tempted to say, you know what? It's not worth it. I'm not going to do this again. I am not going to pour my life into someone else again, only to have no fruit from it. It's just not worth it to wear myself out for it because you're weary. But friends, the encouragement from God's word in that weariness of sowing seed in tears is that there will be a harvest. It very well may not be in this life, but Jesus sees your work, he sees your faithfulness, and he will reward you. Remember that and place your hope in that. Now, one more factor in our lives that makes it so hard to persevere, so hard not to grow weary, is physical pain. So fourthly, do not grow weary in doing good because Christ will reward you for persevering through pain. Christ will reward you for persevering through pain. Is physical pain making you weary in your life? Maybe for you it's an old injury or it's an ailment or an illness that continues. Or maybe it's a pain that's related to your type of work, your line of work. And if you have constant pain in your life, I think it's sort of like an engine running without enough oil, or something that's supposed to be, it has moving parts and it's not lubricated enough. That small, normal things in your life that would normally go just fine create just that little bit of friction in your life, and everything is harder because you have that pain all the time. And even the simple, small things in your life seem so much more difficult. It takes so much more willpower to do everything, because so much more exertion because you're in pain, and that is wearying. But if you're in pain, and you do you ever think of it as just physical pain? You think, well, it's not pain because I was persecuted. It's not pain that's directly related to my sin or to someone else's direct sin. It's not that someone inflicted this pain on me. It's just part of life. It's just part of living in this cursed world. And you might be tempted to think, well, it's just pain. It's just living in this life. You might be tempted to think that Jesus doesn't care or it doesn't really matter to him that you are trying to persevere through this pain. But listen to the way that Paul talks about our bodies breaking down and that suffering and pain in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and 17. He says, so we do not lose heart. That's the same word actually as in our passage. He says, we do not grow weary. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. He's talking about physical pain and suffering and sickness, our outer nature wasting away. And he says that suffering is preparing glory for you. It's preparing a reward for you. And friends, there will always be that temptation when you're in physical pain to just try to escape, to just try to get away from it, to make the pain stop, to turn to getting drunk, to turn to illicit drugs, to turn even to abuse prescription drugs, just to do anything to check out and to just get out of this situation, just not have to deal with it. And of course, the ultimate example of that kind of escape mentality is suicide itself. Say, I just want the pain to stop. I don't want to be in pain anymore. But friends, when you endure through pain, when you refuse to check out so that you can love and serve the people around you and continue to bring glory to God, you are being like Christ. Because that is what Christ did for you and me. Christ suffered pain in this life. He suffered through all the effects of the curse on our bodies and on this creation. And he remained in that. He did not check out. He didn't take himself out of that situation so that he could love and serve us and save us from our sins on the cross. And so, friends, when you do the same, when you do not check out, when you continue to suffer the difficulties of this life and still strive to love and serve those around you, Jesus will reward you for that. He sees and he knows. God sees your perseverance and he will reward you for the specific ways that you fight to keep going even in your pain and suffering. Do you have that confidence in God's promises in your pain? Do you know that persevering when you're in pain is valuable in God's eyes? Keep reminding yourself that this light momentary affliction, even though it doesn't feel like it right now, that this light momentary affliction is preparing for you an eternal weight of glory. And do not grow weary of doing good. What factors in your life make you weary of doing good? What is that extra weight on your back when you already feel like you can't quite hold yourself up to begin with? Well, friends, whatever is wearing on you this morning, know that Jesus has been there. Jesus has suffered the same way that you and I suffer. He has suffered persecution. He has fought temptation. He has labored patiently. He persevered through so much pain, and he did it without sin. And friends, in Jesus Christ, because of your faith in him, a day is coming when you will be welcomed into his presence. Think about that reward for a moment. We can't know exactly what the new heavens and new earth will be like. We don't know exactly what those rewards will be like. But there will be a moment when you have finished with your toil. When you have finished that hard labor, you've finished your struggle with temptation, you will be welcomed into God's presence. The Father will welcome you because of Jesus Christ who worked on your behalf. He will have raised you from the dead because you are united in Christ in his death and resurrection, united with Christ. And he will accept your meager offering, your feeble attempts to fight temptation, your feeble attempts to withstand persecution, our imperfect good deeds. We will bring them as children to a father in that moment, and we will say, Lord, this is what I did for you. And he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. And he will reward you. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Does that keep you going? Does that protect you from the hopeless weariness that you might feel some days? Does it give you the strength to carry on, to give one more day in service to your Lord? Friends, brothers and sisters, fight the good fight. Finish the race. Do not grow weary in doing good. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, you have called us to take up our crosses and follow Christ. You have told us that these lives of following Jesus will be lives of following him in his suffering for a time. And Lord, you know what it's like to be on this earth. You know what it's like to suffer. And so, Lord, please comfort us and strengthen us. Give us this hope in our coming reward to carry us through whatever burdens are hardest for each of us, whatever makes us weary, tempted to give up. Lord, please be faithful to strengthen us and to carry us through, to not give up until we reach that day of reward that has been granted to us by your grace through Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen.